The word of God we'll consider tonight is the gospel from Matthew 21. Let's begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, in you the weak and timid find how meek you are and kind, how graciously you hear us and are forever near us. Hosanna, we now adore you and with praises bow before you. Amen. It seems like this time of year, people are often asking the question, who is this, when it comes to Jesus? Every year when Holy Week and Easter roll around, you find new magazines and books and TV shows asking that question, exploring who the real Jesus was, who the historical Jesus was, and of course they're always giving their various answers. And yet this phenomenon of asking who Jesus is really is nothing new. It's been going on throughout the ages. In fact, going all the way back to the time when Jesus walked this earth, this was going on. You think about the different points of Jesus' life, whether it was his birth or his childhood or his earthly ministry as an adult. People looked at Jesus and thought, there's a man, and yet there's something more here. And sometimes they just couldn't quite put their finger on it. You think about Jesus' birth, for instance, and the angels' announcements and the things that the aged believers told Mary and how all these things just kind of left her speechless. Or you think of the things Jesus himself said when he was a boy and how his response to his parents kind of left them scratching their heads at times, going, who is this child? Or later, when Jesus was an adult and was in the midst of his earthly ministry and was teaching the people, we're told that they asked, who is this? Who is this who even forgives sins? Or his disciples, when they witnessed Jesus perform miracles, they asked, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And yet perhaps we wonder, from our vantage point as Christians, looking back on them, how could those people have not known who this was? You know, Mary and Joseph, they heard from the angels. This was God's Son come to save them from their sins. All of God's Old Testament prophecies pointed ahead to Jesus so clearly. And Jesus' own message, his miracles, they all testified that he was the Son of God. And yet, just like today, Jesus found a lot of people in his own day not fully understanding who he was or what he had come to do. And that lasted all of the way throughout his life, right up to the final week of his ministry, that this week we call Holy Week, which brings us to Palm Sunday, the start of that week, when Jesus was getting ready to enter into Jerusalem to go one final time to that holy city where he would do what he came to do. And Jesus' ministry at this point was probably at the highest point it had ever been. Just recently, before Palm Sunday, he had performed maybe his most remarkable miracle. He had raised his friend Lazarus from death, and he did it in a very public setting. And because of this, word had spread about Jesus. People were gathering to him and flocking to him like never before. And so on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus found himself on the top of the Mount of Olives, getting ready to go down the Kidron Valley and then up into Jerusalem, and he was surrounded not just by disciples or by a few pilgrims going along for the Passover, but by hundreds, if not thousands, of people who were ready to not only walk with him, but were shouting his praise and shouting prayers to him, just like Zechariah had foretold, how Jesus would enter into Jerusalem riding on a donkey with the shouts of praise following him. And I still think, though, we wonder what those people were really shouting about. Because while they certainly hailed him as king, or as they got near the city, we're told they answered the people who asked, this is the prophet Jesus. He certainly was a prophet. He certainly was their king. And yet you wonder what they meant by that. Because what do you find by the end of the week? By the time Friday rolls around, you don't hear those crowds shouting praises anymore. By the time Friday rolls around, you wonder if there was some disappointment, perhaps, because this Jesus that they were so excited about, this Jesus they thought they had figured out, didn't turn out to be exactly who they thought he was. He didn't do exactly the things they thought he came to do. As we begin another holy week, I think it's good for us to pause and examine our own hearts when it comes to that question of who is this? Who is this Jesus? Because the temptation is still very real for us to second guess, to doubt. And it's not because the Bible isn't clear about it, but it's because the things that we see in our lives, the struggles we have, the stress that just piles up until it feels like it's more than we can handle. Sometimes that leads us to wonder if Jesus really is this king who's come to help his people, or if maybe he's something less. Do you ever have those doubts? Does that ever nag in the back of your mind? You know, if Jesus really is my God and king, well then, you know, why am I still struggling with these same temptations and falling into these same sins day after day? If Jesus really is my king, why are my parents getting divorced? Why did my dad die? Why are my relationships so unhappy? If he has the ability, why aren't all of my problems just done away with? And if we start asking those questions or having those doubts, what can end up happening is that this Holy Week journey for us can be very much like it was for those first Palm Sunday crowds. You know, by the end of this week, we might feel a little disappointed because it seems like nothing in our lives has changed. And yet Jesus, he looks on us today the same way he looked on those people that first Palm Sunday. Despite the fact that they had their doubts, that maybe they didn't fully understand everything he was or he was there to do, he still had compassion on them. And he still met their needs. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, I don't know what you know about the geography of that area, but the Mount of Olives was a large hillside that kind of overlooked Jerusalem. Jerusalem was across the Kidron Valley and then up on a hill. And as Jesus got to the top of the Mount of Olives and looked out, he saw the city. But more than that, what he saw there was his people. And he looked on those people with love and mercy, just as Jesus stands here at our Mount Olive today and looks out on his people with compassion and mercy. And despite our fears and our doubts and our misunderstandings, he still goes down among us, just as he did on Palm Sunday, to do the work that he came to do. And on that first Palm Sunday, that was what that week was all about, him going to do the kingly work, the real kingly work he came to do, because it was not enough for Jesus simply to fill up the stomachs of the hungry people in Jerusalem with miraculous bread or to get rid of the oppressive government. It was too small of a thing even for Jesus to heal their sicknesses or to raise their dead. All of those things that the people were maybe excited about Jesus doing, those really were only things that could treat symptoms, but not their underlying problem, our underlying problem, our underlying problem of our sinfulness and the corruption it brings into this world and the eternal death sentence it deserves. No, Jesus, he wanted to do away with not just the small problems we have in this life because of sin, but the big problem of sin. He wanted to do away with that once and for all, and that's what he did. When Jesus went to the cross, he took care of sin and its consequences forever. And that's what you're going to see this week as we walk through Holy Week. And I pray you're able to come back this week on Thursday, on Friday, and again on Easter. I pray you're able to walk and see your Savior go to that cross for you and lay down his life for you. To see Jesus, yes, physically tortured, and yes, spiritually abandoned, but doing those things willingly for you. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode in, just as Zechariah foretold, righteous and having salvation. And this week you'll see him empty himself of that righteousness and give it away and take our sin on himself to save us. And by the time we gather again here then on Easter Sunday, I would certainly hope and pray that none of us would be left wrestling with this question, who is this? Who is this Jesus? Because we'll know the answer. We'll know it because we'll have done this week what God encourages us to do all the time in his word. He tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, you were that joy that was set before Jesus. You were the prize that he went to win. Everything you'll hear about this week, Jesus did for you. And so when people ask that question, who is this? Who is this who rides in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? We know the answer. This is the king who wins the victory. This is the prophet, the one who speaks God's word to us yet today. This is the priest who makes the ultimate sacrifice for us. This is Jesus, our Savior and our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to him in the highest. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.